Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Cam Rogers joins us. Cam, great to have you with us. Great talk some golf today.
What's going on, guys? Great to be with you. Super pumped for this week. We have the Masters and the big cat is back, Tiger Woods.
Yep. So this is going to be interesting to see how he negotiates this because, Cam, as you know, one area that television does not do justice to is how hilly that course is.
Yeah.
It is a grind to walk the 7,000 plus yards.
No doubt. The undulations, the hills. We're not talking about St. Andrews right now, guys, which is a completely flat golf course. This is going to be a difficult track for Tiger Woods to walk. Of course, we're talking about somebody who knows this course like the back of his hand.
Yep.
So he does have that advantage. He can sort of weave his way around the holes as he's walking to his ball, looking for the flattest parts of the golf course. Flattest being a relative term, of course, but yeah. He's going to do everything he can, right, to make sure he keeps that inflammation down in his ankle, the soreness down as well. And if he completes 72 holes at the Masters, that's a victory in my book.
All right. Over time, it's one thing about Augusta National. There's a lot that looks the same, but to their credit, they have made some changes. They altered three of their great holes. They've altered a little bit 11, 15, and 18. It adds some yardage to it. Does it change anything in your mind, the alterations?
Yeah, a little bit, to be honest with you guys. You know, it's interesting, year in and year out, the number one corollary stat to success at Augusta National is driving distance. And now we're talking about this golf course playing the longest it ever has, stretching over 7,500 yards. So, I mean, we're talking about 9 of the 10 par fours playing over 440 yards. So you better pack your long iron game when you're talking about these par fours. These par threes are difficult as well. And it'll be interesting to see just how gettable the par 5 15th hole is now that you have those alterations, right? So I'm putting a lot of premium on the par 5 scoring, particularly on 2, 8, and 13 this week. If you do not cash in with birdies there, I don't know if you can be the Masters champion this week.
Yeah, see, 15, I wouldn't have moved the tee back on 15. I know it's only 20 yards. It's only 20 yards. I got it. Because the way that green is shaped, as you know, Cam, you have to be pretty precise on that second shot because that green doesn't hold. And that with the pond in front, see, I wouldn't have moved it back, but that's just me. I mean, I'm just a simple sort.
No, I agree. It brings more excitement when you have a somewhat gettable par five. You know what I mean? So why stretch that out? I would rather have you stretch out a par four and just, you know, make one par four more difficult or something like that. But you're correct. That green, going for it in two, there's a little bit of a false front there. You have a slope that you have to get over, and if you don't get over that part, then you're going in the water, and if you go too long, there's actually kind of a steep area in the back of the green, too. You might go off the green there, so it's a difficult green to hit, even if it's your third shot. So, yeah, I kind of wish they didn't do that, but you know what? Augusta National is trying to adapt to this changing game. Everybody is driving the ball further now. And Augusta has to adjust.
I mean, if Bryson's at 80%, he's still hitting the ball 400 yards. All right. So when you look at the field, we've had a lot of different winners this year on the PGA Tour, a lot of different winners. Are any of the new winners that we've had so far in the last 3 months, because the season actually begins the end of last year, any one of those guys you think good enough to maybe give it a run on this course?
Yeah, you know, obviously Scottie Scheffler is a guy everybody is talking about right now, the number one player in the world. But I'm going to direct your attention to one, Joaquin Niemann. This guy is an absolute talent, one at Riviera. That is not an easy golf course. We're talking about really small greens. You have to be precise with your irons to actually have success at the Masters and certainly at that tournament. And I think Joaquin Niemann can kind of carry that momentum into the Masters in a way in which he doesn't have to put so much pressure on himself. He already got win number one. He can sort of move on from there, right? And so Joaquin Niemann is a guy that I'm really tracking this week. I'm actually off Scottie Scheffler. I think, you know, he might be hitting some regression to the mean a little bit. A lot of wins are happening for him, and I could totally see him sort of, you know, having a little bit of a letdown this week, but who knows? We shall see. He's one of the favorites this week at the Masters, but I think Joaquin Niemann is a guy that I'm really tracking here this week.
Is he in the same group with Tiger the first 2 days?
Yes, he is. He is a part of that group.
Yeah, it's and Louis Oosthuizen's the other one, right?
Yes, Louis, Joaquin Niemann, and Tiger Woods.
What do you think that does? Because first of all, Niemann's going to be standing there, and you and I both know, Kim, that they're going to be deep as deep gets. I mean, there are going to be more people watching him than any point in his lifetime. That's why I only bring it up because it is a dynamic that I don't know how to predict. How do you view it?
Well, look at the crowds right now that are following Tiger Woods during his practice round.
Yeah.
I mean, it's truly remarkable the amount of people who are showing up. But at the same time, it's really not that surprising. So you bring up a great point with Joaquin Niemann and Louis Oosthuizen. They are going to have to play tunnel vision for the first 2 days. Try to just play your own game. Don't get caught up in the pomp and circumstance with Tiger Woods making his return and what have you, because Tiger Woods is the master of tunnel vision. He's used to these big-time crowds, right?
Yep.
A lot of these guys are still getting used to the crowds in this quote-unquote post-pandemic world that we're in with the PGA Tour that is allowing fans back and what have you. So to see the sea of people coming for Tiger, for the most part, tomorrow is going to be an adjustment for Louis and Joaquin. It'll be interesting to see how they kind of adjust from there into Friday as well.
Cam, we talked about the new winners on the tour. You brought up a great point about Joaquin Niemann. You talked about Scottie Scheffler. Now let's go to some of the older players, the ones that have majors under their belt. In that group of guys that have won a major and understand how to do it, who can rise to the top in that group?
Yeah, I'm really looking at Justin Thomas this week, guys. Not really known as a major championship contender, and he'll tell you that himself, but he does have a PGA championship back in 2017, and he's getting a lot of buzz going into this Masters here. Everything's setting up for him. Top 10 in driving distance and par 5 scoring, second in strokes gained tee to green on the season. He has Phil Mickelson's old caddy, Jim Bones Mackay, on the bag here this week full time. He knows Augusta pretty darn well. So I think it's all coming together for Justin Thomas. A couple of other names, Rory McIlroy is a guy to track. I'm really on him this week. And Brooks Koepka. Nobody's talking about Brooks Koepka, but he's slowly trending in the right direction here.
And it's interesting. Koepka's never played this course really great, which I can't figure out. Now, Dustin Johnson didn't either for a long time before he finally won. But I've always been surprised by that. McIlroy's always played this course really well. I find, and Justin Thomas, Thomas also won the Players too during the course of his career. I'm surprised. Yep. I'm surprised he's never been. You talk about the majors. Why is the fact that he does have the PGA, he's got the Players, but why is it in others that he hasn't? Because he's got everything. It seems like.
It's true. I think, honestly, it's just a testament to the depth of talent that we have on the PGA Tour
these days.
That's
a good point. That's a great point.
This is not the PGA Tour of 2004 when it was Phil, Tiger, it was Vijay, it was Retief Goosen, Jim Furyk, Ernie Els, and that was really it, right? Everybody, all those guys were winning all the time in the early 2000s, and now you just have so much talent. I mean, the margins of differences between all these guys are so thin. Anybody can win any given week. And so for Justin Thomas, he really came up in that era of the athlete golfer. And so when you're dealing with Brooks and DJ and Rory, it's hard to win out there. But I think JT's time is coming at the Masters pretty soon.
All right. A former champion that has always played well here is Jordan Spieth. Where does he fall in with this?
Yeah, you know, Jordan Spieth has been a curious case here in 2022. His putter is not cooperating right now. Yeah. Now, if there is a course where he can find that hot putter, it is obviously Augusta National. He has the course resume, obviously. He's a former champion himself. He's been there, done that. He's been there for the highs and certainly there for the lows after losing to Danny Willett there in 2016. So I'm just not loving the recent form. I know he had a great ball striking week at the Valero Texas Open, but that's not really enough for me to say he's going to actually contend this week. So I am slightly off Jordan Spieth. I think there are better options out there as far as, you know, if you're going to place a bet or anything. I'm probably not going to go in Jordan Spieth's direction. But let me just say this. When you're talking about predicting a major championship, you have so many good golfers all playing at once. You have to take a stand on the top guys, whether it's good or bad, because not everybody can finish inside the top 10.
Right. Well, look, that, see, that you could play great golf and finish third.
Yeah.
Because it just turned out the other guy played better. It just, right. You know, and that happens. And we always look at, well, he missed a putt on eight, and he went, look, okay, he played great. So now I want to get to the defending U.S. Open champ, John Rahm. All right. Does he have, you know, I think it's pretty obvious he has the game to win at this place. All right.
There's no doubt.
What's your thought about him?
Yeah, four consecutive top tens at Augusta National. He's a bomber off the tee, second to just Brooks Koepka in terms of strokes gained total at the majors over the last 5 years. He has the major championship game. He's inside my top five this week. I like him a lot to get it done here at Augusta National. The one concern would be his around the green game. It has not been all that good. And when you're bleeding strokes with your chipping, you better be darn precise with your irons and not miss the green. So that's the one thing about John Rahm right now. But he will be right there on Sunday afternoon. I have no doubt about it. He's been one of those unbettable guys for a while here in 2022 because he's been the favorite at every tournament, and the value just isn't there. But as far as this week is concerned, I think he'll be right around the leaderboard.
I think wind plays a role in one day in this, if I looked at the advanced forecast. Which guys, in your opinion, handle that better than others?
Yeah, always want to look for the guys with the low apex, the low ball flight, the grinders. And I'm looking at a guy named Shane Lowry. If conditions turn really bad here, I'm all in on the former Open champion, guys. The iron game is there. Seven straight top 25s in stroke play action worldwide right now. Couple of top 25s at the Masters the last couple of years. So he's starting to get this golf course. Shane Lowry's a guy to track. And Daniel Berger actually is my guy to win this tournament. He's got a really low ball flight. So when the wind is blowing, he can certainly pierce through that wind.
All right. So when the dust settles, all right, let's just give me five names that you think when the dust settles that the winner will come from that group of five.
All right, so we'll start with Daniel Berger. He is my projected winner to get it done.
I like Berger's game. Nice.
Yeah. Top 10 in strokes gained, tee to green. You know, eighth on tour in scoring average. Really coming in with a good iron game. He is my number one guy on my list. And then Justin Thomas at number two for the reasons I described earlier. I think his game is rounding into form. Shane Lowry is at number three. I think he has serious win equity here this week. John Rahm at four, talked about his major championship game. And then number five, the guy who finished runner-up last year, Will Zalatoris.
Yes.
Second at the Masters, as I mentioned last year. Leads the tour in strokes gained tee to green. Also second in strokes gained approach. Ninth in greens in regulation. I mean, he hits a million greens. Yeah. He just needs that putter to cooperate.
He is a smooth swinger. He is, he is, to me, in terms of like fairways and greens, he's the modern-day Colin Montgomery.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and then Montgomery's problem was he couldn't hit enough putts in major championships to win, but he'd be on the fairways and the greens. Right. Cam, thank you so much. It was great. Great to have you with us. And I look forward to talking with you many times as we go through the course of the year.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Keep up the great work.